The Shadow of Fu Manchu. Based on the stories by Sax Rohmer. Been trapped by agents of the Sea Fun, Dr. Petrie and Detective Sergeant Fletcher have gone to the Joy Shop, a riverfront den patronized by Asiatics. While there, they hear the dragging step of the man with the limp, and later in a coffin-like box, they discover Nayland Smith. With the help of the police, Smith is rescued, and the brass chest stolen by agents of the Sea Fun is recovered. Smith astounds Petrie with the statement that the man with the limp is none other and Dr. Fu Manchu himself. We find Smith and Dr. Petrie in their hotel room next morning with Mr. Myers, a buyer of antiques, and Lewison, his assistant. Myers is examining the chest.
This box, Mr. Schmidt, is valuable. I might add that it is unique. What do you think, Lewison?
Quite valuable and unique. An example of the Tulun Nuer work, 16th century or even earlier.
Now, Mr. Myers, how does the workmanship on this chest compare with the one in the Hague collection?
It has points of similarity. Sir, I should say the workmanship of this specimen is very much finer. Eh, Lewison?
Very much finer, yes.
In a word, then, you'd be prepared to make me a substantial offer for this chest.
Well, I have not yet seen the interior.
Well, unfortunately, I don't have the key.
Coffers of this description, sir, and workmanship are nearly always complicated. Conjuring tricks, if you follow me. They rarely open by such rational means as lock and key.
Exactly, Mr. Schmidt. The current chest in the Hague collection, for instance, opens by an intricate process involving the pressing of certain knobs and designs.
And the turning of others, yes.
The Hague box was ultimately opened by one of Christie's experts.
Pardon me, but wasn't that the chest, the Hague chest, I mean, in the celebrated case of Hague versus Jacob?
Exactly, sir. The original owner, a member of the Young Husband expedition, had been unable to open the chest. When opened at Christie's, it proved to contain jewels and other valuables.
Have you tried to open the chest, Mr. Smith?
No, not yet.
From its weight, I am inclined to believe that its contents might prove interesting.
With your permission, sir, Mr. Myers will endeavor to open it.
I don't care to have it opened at present.
But you would be foolish, sir, to accept an offer for the chest without knowing what it contains.
I've invited no offer, Mr. Myers. As a matter of fact, I don't wish to sell.
Well, I am a businessman, Mr. Schmidt. I'll make you a businesslike proposal. 100 guineas for the box, cash down. And our commission to be 10% on the proceeds of the contents.
You must remember, Mr. Smith, that we may have to force the box in order to open it.
Would, of course, decrease its market value and make it a bad bargain at 100 guineas.
I'm sorry, gentlemen, but if I place the box on the market, you shall have the first refusal. For the moment, if you'll just send me a note of your fee, I'll be obliged.
But Mr. Smith, the officer...
Sorry, Mr. Lewison. I'm not prepared to discuss the question any further at present.
I am sorry, sir. Good day, gentlemen.
One moment, Myers. Since you do not intend opening the box, Mr. Smith, have you any idea of its contents?
None, Mr. Lewison. But with my present inadequate knowledge of its history, I wouldn't care to open it.
Very well. You probably know best.
Yes, come, Lewison. Good day, gentlemen.
Good day to you.
You see, Petrie, if we're ever short of funds, there's enough on that table to retrieve our depleted fortunes.
They were certainly anxious to get inside the thing.
Naturally. They saw only the intrinsic value.
The manner in which it came into your possession suggests that it might contain something of the utmost value to the Sivan.
Fu Manchu.
A great mystery, that man. But think what he's gone through. That horrible fire, and still he lives.
Petrie, without a single doubt, the man with the limp and the tapping cane was Fu Manchu.
Nealon, now that the mystery of the absence of a keyhole in that chest is explained, I'm sorely tempted to try to open it. I'm positive it holds the answer to this entire mystery.
And I think otherwise. I have a sort of fancy, superstition if you like, that nothing, not even our miraculous good luck, could save us if we once knew the secret of that chest.
Jove, Nealon, there are times when you amaze me.
I know. Usually, you're the one with the sense for divining Fu Manchu's presence or one of his agents. Well, that second sight appears to have visited me now, and it directs me to avoid opening that chest.
Well, then, for heaven's sake, man, do something with it. The bank vault is the only logical place for it.
I'll take care of it tomorrow. But now, Weymouth's expecting us at the yard. Get your hat and come along.
Eh? Yes, of course. But Weymouth...
Come along, Petrie. You know Weymouth doesn't like to be kept waiting.
Hurry, old chap.
Oh, I'm coming. I say, but Nayland, I didn't know we had an appointment.
We have to have dinner with Weymouth at Gambrina's. Some special event, I believe.
But the chest? You're not going to leave that unguarded.
Oh, the elevator's here, Petrie.
We must be careful until we're out of here.
Oh, by the way, Petrie, I understand from Sir Basil that Karamir's sailing date has been postponed.
Oh, yes, for a day or so. Something to do with Wilson's not being able to leave as soon as he expected.
I suggest you say nothing about Fu Manchu. It would upset her no end. This way, Petrie.
I say, but aren't we going to take a cab? The yard is
too far to walk, I know, but we're not going to the yard. Nor are we going to meet Weymouth. As a matter of fact, he's back there in the hotel.
Weymouth in the hotel? Great Scott, man, what is this all about?
In here, Petrie. This bookshop will do nicely for a few minutes. Now listen, Petrie. I'm positive that we're being spied upon at the hotel.
Spies in the new Louvre?
Spies of the Sifan, of Fu Manchu, of the Black Poppies. They're among the hotel servants.
Well, you seem positive enough.
Fairly obvious, isn't it? We know that Fu Manchu was at one time in the building. You saw Zuleika there. And wasn't the flower of silence introduced into our room by way of the lighting fixture?
Then why do we remain there?
For the same reason that prompts me to keep the brass chest with me rather than deposit it in some bank vault.
Oh, I begin to understand.
The procedure, of course, is a bit dangerous, but I hope by laying myself open to attack to make an important capture.
Well, you could have told me this back there in the hotel. Why didn't you?
Well, after all, I'm not entitled to expose you, old chap, to these dangers.
Now, that's quite enough, man. I began this thing with you. I shall see it through.
Righto. We'll see it through together, then. And heaven knows where the trail will lead us.
Well, now, in the first place, since you've left the chest unguarded with Weymouth in the lobby...
Did I say Weymouth was in the lobby? And besides, I locked our door.
Nayland, you surprise me. What is a mere lock where Fu Manchu is concerned?
No one, Petrie, can enter or leave our suite unseen. Weymouth has engaged the room immediately, facing our door.
He's up there now?
And for once he is stooped to disguise. Spectacles and a muffler covering his face up to his eyes.
You don't mean that old gentleman we saw hurrying into the room opposite ours as we came out is Weymouth?
The fellow with the huge overcoat and the asthmatic cough? Yes. Mr. John Martin at your service.
Well, I certainly wouldn't have recognized him.
The room has twin beds. Mr. Martin will have a friend join him this evening.
You will be that friend, of course. And what part do I play?
A dangerous one, Petrie. Ostensibly, you and I will leave town this evening. Actually, you'll stay behind. Jim Blake of Scotland Yard will take your place wearing your overcoat at the door of our apartment.
I understand. We shall have two watchers outside and one, myself, in our room.
Exactly.
It seems ridiculous to expect a member of the C-Fan to attempt anything in a great hotel in the heart of London.
Has Fu Manchu never attempted murder in the heart of London, Peter?
Well, what's our next move?
We return to the hotel. Once in our room, speak of anything but the matter in hand. I'm positive there's a dictaphone concealed somewhere in that suite. Just where, I don't know, but I'll search without results. Come along, Petrie.
We'll go back to our room. One last word, Petrie, old chap.
Do not sleep. Remain awake at all costs. At the first disturbance, whatever you may see or hear, call out. And remember, Weymouth and I will be just across the hall.
Right.
And now, step to the door with me. Turn out the lights. Slip out of your traveling coat. I'll give it to Blake, who's joining me outside the room. I'll close the door, leaving you inside in the dark.
And Blake and my coat will go with you.
I understand. Right.
Come along, Petrie.
All right, Blake. Get the coat.
We have barely 5 minutes to catch our train, old chap.
As soon as we're out of the hotel, Blake, you go on back to the yard. Tell the chief he'll likely hear from me in the morning.
Hello, Martin, old top. You cough no better.
Oh, this beastly London fog of yours raises net with my asthma.
Everything went off as planned, Smith?
Everything. Anyone spying on my movements should have been deceived. In Petrie's coat, Blake would easily pass it to the doctor.
A sticky spot for Petrie. We'd best be prepared to move past.
Yes. Although I gave him the opportunity to withdraw from playing the part of decoy, he insisted on seeing things through. He won't fail us.
I agree with you. The doctor's a bit of all right, Smith. He's strong enough.
Mm. Well, I don't think we'll have very long to wait. The agents of the C-Fan move quickly and by prearranged plan. Just how or from which angle they'll strike, I can't say.
Leaving that chest apparently unguarded was a bold stroke.
Aiden! Aiden! Weymouth!
Come on, Weymouth! The C-Fan!
Fu Manchu.